God is working God's purpose out. God is working God's purpose out because you are here today, gathered for worship, a group never before exactly assembled in this way. Catholics and Mennonites and others. Today we welcome the bridge folk among us gathered this weekend at the AMBS campus, and we'll be hearing more about bridge folk this morning. And we welcome all to Prairie Street Mennonite Church to worship the Lord together and trust you will be blessed. And we welcome those who listen to us locally and around the world. So today, I invite you to participate in the call to worship as I speak a line and you repeat it, and then we all together are gathered in this welcoming and beginning together. The God who speaks comfort to us calls us here. The God who addresses us with tenderness meets us here. The God who guides us with gentleness cares for us here. We come to prepare a way for the Lord. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it. Let us pray. God of grace, we come here with all we have, bodies, souls, minds, all here to worship you. We have come for a glimpse of your kingdom, a world where love rules over all, a world where enemies embrace, distinctions between friend and foe evaporating in the light of your love. We look forward to the reign of the coming king. The wolves will walk with the lambs, the leopards skip with the kids, and the calves will be friends with the lion cubs. Peace will come through the root of Jesse, and we will abide with the King. We dedicate this time of worship to you, and to your kingdom come. Amen. Now I invite you to rise, take your hymnals, and turn to number 6 in the blue hymnal, Here in This Place.
Here in this place, here in this place, how If you're able, remain standing and turn to number 226 in the same book. 226, you are salt for the earth. Number 55 in the same book, 55. And we'll sing the first verse in English and then the two Spanish verses. And we'll end with those verses. So we'll sing three altogether. Begin verse 1 in English and then 1 and 2 in Spanish.
Thank you.
We come now to the time of confession, to that wonderful gift that never diminishes us, but allows us to bring more of ourselves to God and to our relationships with each other. So let us take this time to listen in prayer. You are our God. Listen as we pray to you. Can you make sense of the ramblings as we lay out the pieces of our lives? You hear us every morning. This morning, Lord, we name our insecurities and the places where we feel separated from your love, separated from our community, and separated from your creation and our own identity as your people. We know the times we have lived clothed in weariness, cloaked with anger, and enshrouded by sorrow. We grieve the occasions when we have lived with alienation rather than association, when we have sought isolation rather than consolation, and when our wounds within have shut others out. Yet you have placed within us, God, a longing for survival, a hunger for your wholeness, a yearning for your comfort and hope for all our healing. Grant us the courage to be touched by you, that when our days of weeping are done, we may wear your garments of gladness, see one another in the light of your love, and stand together in the power of your resurrection. So it is in the name of the risen Christ we pray. Amen. And now, sisters and brothers, I invite you to stand, believing in the power of the resurrection and the power of the risen Christ. And for our words of assurance today, let us be bold to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, holding fast to what it proclaims, that the kingdom comes, that God's will is done, asking for daily bread, asking for forgiveness of sins and protection from temptation. Noting that in Mennonite circles, instead of praying, forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses, Mennonites pray, forgive us our sins. So now, standing together full of hope, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, sisters and brothers, with the amen, with the so be it, you are invited now to turn to one another in confidence, offering the sign of peace, saying, the peace of Christ be with you, and responding, and now to complete our passing of peace, we welcome representatives of Bridge Folk here, Father John Abbott and Marilyn Steele. We'll let them introduce themselves. They'll do a better job than I'm doing.
Thank you. Greetings from Bridge Folk. My name is Marilyn Stahl, and I am the Mennonite co-chair of Bridge Folk, And I'm also the representative of Mennonite Church USA on the board. We also have a representative of Mennonite Church Catholic, I mean Mennonite Church Canada. And that is Andy Martin. I'm from Seattle, so I also bring you greetings from Seattle Mennonite Church.
And I'm Abbot John Clausen from a Benedictine monastery in central Minnesota, and serve as the co-chair on the Bridge Folk board. And I don't have the status within the Catholic environment that Marilyn does within the Mennonite environment, but I surely bring greetings from St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota.
Can you tell us just a word about what you've been doing this weekend?
We're just going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to do that.
There's a plan. First, we'd like to tell you just a little bit about Bridge Folk. Bridge Folk is a grassroots movement of Mennonites and Catholics who come together to share stories, to share song, and to learn from each other's tradition and to do an ecumenical gift exchange. We have annual conferences that have been started in about 2002. And one of our mottos is proceed through friendship. And we learned that from a lay Catholic community, which is a Santa Gidio community. This year's conference, would you like to speak to that?
I want to, first of all, go and loop back and have all of our Bridge Folk participants this year. If you'd please stand, just to give the community here a sense of who you are. So this year's conference focused on a healing that occurred in Japan. And so we have a number of individuals from Japan. Would you please stand? Nozomu and Fasoni and
other guests
from Japan. And what we reflected on most importantly here is the fact that when Mennonites and Catholics pray together, miracles can and do occur.
Another significant part of our conference this year was to remember and lament the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so we had a service of lament to remember that.
I think we just said everything we should say at this time. We are truly grateful to be with you as a praying community this morning. Thank you so much for hosting us.
Thank you.
And blessings as you travel and go back. Our scripture this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
Isaías 11, del 1 al 9. Una vara saldrá del tronco de Isaí. Un vástago retoñará de sus raíces. Sobre él reposará el espíritu del Señor, el espíritu de sabiduría y de inteligencia, el espíritu de consejo y de poder, el espíritu de conocimiento y de temor del Señor. Su deleite será temer al Señor.
He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of the lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins.
No juzgará según la apariencia, ni dictará sentencia según los rumores. Defenderá los derechos de los pobres y dictará sentencia junto en favor a la gente humilde del país. Su boca será la vara de hierro, la tierra, sus labios serán el ventarral que matan al limpio. La justicia y la fidelidad será el cinto que ciñará su cintura.
And the wolf shall lay down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den, and they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
El lobo convertirá con el cordero, el leopardo se juntarán junto al cabrito, y se el becerro, el león y el animal engordado andarán juntos, y un chiquillo los pastoreará. La vaca y la osa pasearán sus crías, se echarán juntos, y el león comerá paja como el buey. El niño de pecho jugará sobre la cueva de él y el recién aspid. Destetado extenderá su mano sobre la cueva de la víbora. Nadie hará mal ni daño alguno en ninguna parte de mi santo monte, porque la tierra estará saturada del conocimiento del Señor, así como las aguas cubren el mar.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
And now we welcome Alan and Ellie with Bridge Folk from the very beginning and with us here at Prairie Street for a very long time. I will pray and Petronila also.
Gracias, Padre, por tenerlos aquí, Señor, escuchando tu palabra, Señor. Gracias, Señor, para que te pido que me le des sabiduría, Señor, que lo des entendimiento a toda la congregación que estamos, Señor, de tu palabra que vamos a escuchar ahora, Señor. Úsalos como unos instrumentos, Señor. Espíritu Santo, usa cada uno de estos dos siervos, Señor, para que nos den entendimiento o amor, Señor, de tu palabra, Señor. Esto te lo pido en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Amén, amén. Y amén.
Amén. Amén.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A few years ago, here at Prairie Street, everybody brought their favorite texts, and we were limited to 10, no more than 10 favorite Bible verses. And so we all thought about that. And one of the passages that came through on that favorite text was this one, Isaiah chapter 11.
It was amazing how many of us in this congregation feel that this is an important text. We, toward the end of the survey, took the texts and put them up around the front so we could look at them all and see them. There was a dense concentration in Isaiah 11. So we're bringing you a text that's important to us, but a text that is important to our congregation as well.
So we're going to look at the verses first. If you have your Bible, you can follow through. Isaiah wrote this at a time when the people were very sad. It was a discouraging time, and people were without hope. And so here comes this beautiful passage in which Isaiah spells out a dream, a vision of hope for the people.
In verse 11, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Not a forest, but a shoot.
Yeah, he's talking about a tree, isn't he? And it's not really about the tree. It's about a person. But this is what he says. A branch shall grow out of the roots. And the person, the branch, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
And so the Spirit of the Lord will be resting upon this tender shoot growing up, this small branch, not dramatic, but the stump of Jesse, that is Jesse's, the father of David, indicates that what is coming up here is going to have royal identity.
So it's a kind of about a king, isn't it?
And it's about what a king ought to be like.
Yeah, let's see
what will
he says.
This king be like?
Here we are in verse 3. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
And so the delight will be in what God wants and in the fear of God. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and this will lead to wisdom, understanding, counsel, might.
And what is this king going to do? How is he going to rule? We see in verse 4, with righteousness he will judge the poor. What does that mean, with righteousness he will judge?
Well, not by what is convenient to him, not by what is going to get him kickbacks, but rather what is fair, what is true.
We often think of judging as being putting somebody down, but that's not what this means. It means he will make things right for the poor, with justice.
When there are needy people, when there are people who have problems, those people are going to find this a just that they don't need to be afraid of. He will be fair to them. He will decide for meek people, for poor people, for people who need justice. He'll decide, the text says, for them.
Verse 5 tells us what this king is going to look like. It's a kind of an imagination. He says, look how he's dressed.
And it says practically nothing. It only talks about his belt. But at any rate,
righteousness, justice will be his belt.
Yes. And so here is an unusual king who is clad in very important parts with justice. God is promising you this kind of king. This is God's promise. This is God's purpose. God is working God's purpose out.
And so this is the kind of king who is going to come to bring justice and right relationships for the poor. And then the poetry just bursts out. And he has this wonderful series of pictures. And let's see what they are. In verse 6, he says, in this time when the king is reigning,
the wolf will live with the lamb.
The leopard will lie down with the kid.
The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and
a little child
shall lead them. And then it goes on. It's lyrical. It's enthusiastic. It's unreal. It's fabulous. The children will be involved. A little child shall lead them. To the king, the small are important. They are precious. And they point the way forward for the rest of creation because the child is leading the adults.
Amazing, isn't it, to think of a king and a procession, a royal procession, and having a sense of the child in the leadership there.
And you know, it's just plain odd. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. Well, we're used to cows that graze. Bears?
Bears eat cows.
Right. So what we've got is vegetarians and carnivores becoming vegetarians.
Oh.
There is a new world here. There is even more about children.
It says here that the nursing child will play over the hole of the snake, of the asp.
The weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. And so here children are going to have a new relationship with animals that often cause great fear. Snakes, enemies of humans in the Bible since very early, since the fall in Genesis 3. And many of us are afraid of snakes, but not under the king who brings reconciliation. Even snakes. We don't need to be afraid of them.
So there's a sense of a new creation. A new world is coming into being. And Isaiah is giving this as a place of hope for the people.
And one policy is central. This is in verse 9. They will not hurt or destroy. On all my holy mountain. The prophet knows there are a lot of people on earth who hurt each other. There are a lot of people who fear other people. There are people who destroy other people. A country has enemies. People are competitors with others. But that's not God's will. That's not what the new creation is going to be like.
Through this whole chapter, we see that the new creation is going to be restored relationships. Surprising, unexpected places where people and animals get along in unusual ways.
It's not God's will when people hurt other people. It's not God's will when people hurt animals. The new creation will be a world in which humans live at peace and animals live at peace, and there is no hurting or destroying.
And the Bible has a special word for this. It's shalom. That means everything is restored and brought into wholesome, beautiful relationship together. This is Isaiah's vision of what the new creation will be like.
No hurting, no destroying.
How can this be? How does it come about?
The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea.
He tried to find an image as big as he could imagine, and so he looked at the sea that covered beyond what he could actually see in the horizon. The waters covering the sea. That's the shalom of God.
This is what it will be like when the shoot of Jesse's stump is in charge. No hurting or destroying. And this is what God wants. This is God's purpose. This is God's promise. It is God's mission.
And it is what God is working tirelessly for all through our scripture and through our experience, our human experience.
So what is God working for? God is working for new creation.
God is working for reconciliation, for peace, for kindness, for shalom. And Isaiah has put this promise, this vision, into poetry for us. But it's interesting to see that artists also have picked up these images and have worked with them in very interesting ways. We're going to look at some pictures now from a couple of artists. First of all, Fritz Eichenberg.
Fritz Eichenberg was a German, a Jew, who moved to the States in the 1930s. He found a spiritual home with Quakers, but he found himself personally most engaged when he was with Dorothy Day and the Catholic worker communities in New York. And this is Fritz Eichenberg's depiction of the peaceable kingdom.
Let's see how he read this passage. Do you see the couplets, the wolf and the lamb together? In the bottom right-hand side.
And on the left, the lamb and the leopard.
The leopard and the kid. Yeah. The calf and the lion across the picture from each other. And what's in the middle?
The child.
The child. The little child will lead them. So he felt that was a centrally important idea.
A depiction of the peaceable kingdom. Which ignites our longing, which gives us anticipation, which gives us hope. It's a sign of what God is doing, of what God is working towards. Now let's look at another picture.
This is a picture painted by Edward Hicks. He was a Quaker sign painter, actually, and active in the middle of the 19th century. He painted this vision 100 times.
100 times. Why that fixation on this particular image? Only 66 have survived, which I think is remarkable. He was going through a time when the Quakers were having real tension, and he was deeply disturbed that they might be splitting into different traditions. And so in order to paint his prayer, he painted this vision of God's future in which things will be made right, in which the peaceable kingdom will come. And what do we see in this?
So again, we have a cluster of animals on the right, and then there's a division, and then there's some figures over on the left-hand side. But if we look at the animals, again, the clustering of pairs, the cow and the bear, you see the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid in the middle, and the young of the cow and the bear lying together in the middle.
And the children over the hole of the snake.
Interestingly, it says, doesn't it, that the lion is going to be eating grass like the cow.
And if you look really closely, there is grass coming out of his mouth.
That's why he looks so uncertain, I think. He's not really sure about this.
Next picture.
Here's another one of the paintings that Hicks made. It has mainly the same clustering of pears. And again, the people on the left-hand side.
And notice the gulf. Notice you can't get across that. It's dividing the future, the peaceable kingdom, from what people are living in now. Next.
And here is yet another one of Hicks's pictures.
Notice the soulful eyes of the lion. And again, this division. Now, what's going on over here?
Let's look at those people over on the side. Can you see how they are dressed? Can you imagine who they might be? Are there some Native Americans there? And also some Quakers with their black hats? So this is a meeting of Native Americans with Indian
and
Quakers.
The idea is that they are making peace and they are concluding treaties. And so there is a sense in Hicks' mind that here is a place where humans are living, despite tension, with reconciliation. And what this means for Hicks is that this is an anticipation of that.
Okay, yeah, it's an interesting thing. He has the biblical vision there, but he said, you know what? We can see some of that today in our own life. We see it when the Native Americans and the Quakers are making treaties. That was an anticipation which he has painted, even though it's beyond a gulf which looks very difficult to cross.
This is an anticipation of what things will be like when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. This is what God wants everywhere, and now we can tell a little story that points the way toward this story.
So if we look in Scripture, we'll see that there are anticipations of this great vision in Scripture, and we want to look at the biggest anticipation of all, and of course that is in the person of Jesus, our master anticipation of the peaceable kingdom.
And so we're going to see Jesus the teacher, surrounded by people, many of them poor, a large number of children who are there. They're listening to Jesus. They're finding grace coming from him.
And as we saw in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And we know that the Spirit of the Lord rested on Jesus when he came. He came as a teacher.
Next. And Jesus, the teacher, that's a detail from the previous one, tells his disciples what he tells us. When you pray, pray like this. And the heart of my prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Disciples, you pray for the peaceable kingdom to come.
Do you think Jesus maybe knew that passage from
Isaiah? Do you think Jesus knew Isaiah 11? This is a new creation passage, disciples. Let's pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
There's a sense of urgency in Jesus' teaching. Yeah.
Next. But there's also then Jesus the actor.
Do you recognize the story that Rembrandt is depicting? The religious leaders have brought a woman to be judged harshly for sin that she had done. And Jesus stoops down and starts writing in the earth and doesn't seem to be paying attention. And then he stands up and he said, "Yes, she's sinned, but those of you who have no sin, you can throw the first stone at her." And all of the people just kind of melted away.
Jesus fulfills the prophecy. He judges the poor with fairness. He is the anticipation of the final reconciliation. He is the inaugurator of the final reconciliation.
Oh, what is he doing here?
He's like the bridge folk.
Jesus is washing the feet of his disciple. And look how surprised the ones standing by there. What is he doing? And look how Peter, who's seated, he isn't at all sure about this, is he? But Jesus is washing his feet and he's showing his disciples how they should behave toward one another.
With fairness and with humility. Jesus struggling against evil, fighting against hurting and destroying by embodying a different way to live.
So Jesus was an anticipation of this kind of restored good relationships. But of course, this got him in trouble with the authorities. They were not pleased with him.
And they tried to stop him and to shut him up. And finally,
they thought it was final. They thought, now we will really get rid of this man. So they crucified him. But God had a bigger plan. Death itself could not stop God's work, God's new creation.
And so some disciples had walked to Emmaus and they sat down to eat.
And there was a stranger who ate with them at the table. And suddenly when he broke the bread, they recognized that it was Jesus. Jesus was there. Jesus is alive.
Jesus has revealed his being alive to his disciples. And then he breathed the Spirit upon them. He breathed his Spirit upon us. And gives us a vision to live by in which there is going to be no hurting.
And he calls us to follow him in that way.
No destroying.
He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. And the end of the age is when that new creation comes in fullness, the peaceable kingdom.
We can look at the Eichenberg etching. We can look at the Hicks painting. We can see what the future is going to look like. But we can also see it more clearly even when we look at Jesus.
But the beautiful thing for us is that we can see anticipations here today in our lives because God continues working toward bringing this vision to completion.
So we think of those little anticipations of the Quakers and the Algonquins meeting together. We can see anticipations in our life here.
Every day we pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray the kingdom in. And then we need to watch for it because God answers the prayer.
And little examples, little anticipations occur which we need to look at and praise God for.
So some of the anticipations are national ones, some are local, some are in our own life. Here's one that happened recently in our country. Do you remember reading about this in Charleston? I forgive you.
It's astonishing, isn't it, how when Christians forgive, it hits the front page of the New York Times. What if Christians forgave more often? Something utterly astonishing was going on there to the American way of thinking, which grows straight out of the way of Jesus and is an anticipation of final reconciliation in the kingdom of God.
So a local event in Charleston becomes a national news item, which is an anticipation of the new creation. But you know, it can become even more local than that. Here we have a picture of Petronila's house. It needed to have some work on it, but she had a home here. And so people came and helped her to build her house, to make it really nice to live in. Now, isn't that a sign of the kingdom?
A sign of God's future now. An anticipation of the kingdom. Next.
This is pedal power. A little bicycle shop, a little bicycle refreshing thing that's going on. This is our church building, and this is right outside in the back here behind the house. And people are coming together to fix their bicycles, to learn how to take care of bicycles.
To earn bicycles. It's an anticipation of God's kingdom.
It's for transport, for friendship, for fun. Here are people doing creative work, working together.
Working downstairs, working together, making something beautiful, growing in love for each other.
That's a sign of the kingdom, too.
A sign of God's kingdom, anticipation of the peaceable kingdom. Next.
This is about being a neighbor. These are the neighbor children who come over to play music and to dance in our living room.
And to make chocolate chip cookies with Eleanor.
Yeah, cooking, that's another part of it, isn't it?
So, an anticipation of the kingdom. Now, when I was looking through our computer, I discovered that I didn't have any photos of meals here. And so we had to ask whether we could use Andrea Krabel's etching.
She made an etching of a community meal, which is very beautiful. But it reminds us that sharing food around the tables, this is certainly a sign of God's kingdom coming.
A central anticipation of the new creation. Now, we recognized as well that we didn't have pictures of Bridge Folk.
But we didn't need one today, did we?
Because Bridge Folk is itself an anticipation of the coming kingdom, in which we meet, in which we grow in friendship, mm-hmm. in which we create something visible, something tangible, that points to the truth of God's reliable promise for a future without hurting and destroying.
So maybe we could add a verse to Isaiah 11. And the Mennonites and the Catholics will meet and eat together and learn from each other. They will become friends.
And so we believe that God is working God's purpose out. And God's purpose in history is to bring new creation.
Jesus said, "My Father is working, and I am working." And so Jesus is cooperating with God in his mission and calls us into the same work. He invites us to work for the kingdom.
He invites us to work by praying every day the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven," the prayer for new creation.
And Jesus invites us to be alert, to watch for those signs of the kingdom around us in our lives, and to name those. This is God at work.
And he invites us to enter into the work of God as we observe it, and to make God's work, our delight. And through this, God is working his purpose out as years come to. Number 638 in our hymnal.
Number 638.
And we've had some different windows into hearing and seeing the message both in word and in visual aid. And then as we sing this song, I think you will be able to feel, the name of the tune is Purpose. I think you'll be able to feel the intentionality and the purpose of God as you experience the beat of this song as it marches along, really. So let's sing together. 638.
Now we come to the part of our service where we